The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
I really, really, really didn't want to do this today. I really didn't want to do this today, but I really have no choice. So, here we go.
Maybe it's the bullets, maybe it's the real crooks, maybe it's the drugs, maybe it's the parents, maybe it's the colors everybody's wearing, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that, what he done, maybe it's the high schools, maybe it's the teachers, maybe it's the tattooed children in the bleachers, maybe it's the Bible, maybe it's the lack, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the crack, maybe it's the hairdos, maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the cigarettes, maybe it's the family, maybe it's fast food, maybe it's the news, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's abuse, maybe it's the lawyers, maybe it's the prisons, maybe it's the senators, maybe it's the system, maybe it's the fathers, maybe it's the sons, maybe it's the sisters, maybe it's the moms, maybe it's the radio, maybe it's road rage, maybe El Nino, were you V-raised, maybe it's the army, maybe it's the liquor, maybe it's the papers, maybe the militia, maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, maybe it's a fan, maybe it's the magazines, maybe it's the internet, maybe it's the lottery, maybe it's the immigrants, maybe it's taxes, big business, maybe it's the KKK and the skinheads, maybe it's the communists, maybe it's the Catholics, maybe it's the hippies, maybe it's the addicts, maybe it's the art, maybe it's the sex, maybe it's the homeless, maybe it's the banks, maybe it's the clear cut, maybe it's the ozone, maybe it's the chemicals, maybe it's the car phone, maybe it's the fertilizer, maybe it's the nose rings, maybe it's the hands, but I know one thing, if it were up to me, I'd take away the guns, I'd take away the guns, I'd take away the guns.
There was another mass shooting yesterday. Another one. Now, the minor news coverage of the event, they'll tell you it was the third mass shooting in 2 weeks. No, it was the 20th mass shooting in 2 weeks. This was only the third one with multiple people dead, and in this case, four, including a young child in Orange, California. I don't know when things are going to change. And as I said in today's What's News, now is the time I would normally go into telling you what they're doing in Congress to tighten gun control, to make sure that people need a background check or a license and insurance to be able to purchase and own a gun. But no such thing is happening. No such thing exists. And if you watch television today, you barely heard a word about it. Such is life in America in 2021. And things only get worse. Yeah, I know. You know, I've been telling you about, you know, how things are getting better. Well, in some respects they are, but in others not so much. So to tell you what happened today, what the brilliant Supreme Court ruled in a unanimous decision that hopefully will get you as pissed off as I am, I welcome back to the show my old friend Sue Wilson. She is the director of the Media Action Center and Sue Wilson Reports. And holy shit, Sue. So what I said, because I tend to bring things down to the base level, local radio and I guess local news is dead. Am I overstating it? Oh,
actually, Nicole, I'm hoping you can hear me.
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. You're understating it. This is so much worse than anybody realizes. When I saw this morning come into my email box, I prayed it was April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
It is not. Okay, folks, here's what has happened. The Supreme Court today ruled that the Federal Communications Commission has the power to allow one big media group. I want you to start thinking about our not-so-friends Sinclair.
Yeah.
One big media group can now own two network TV stations, plus one to two more non-network TV stations, plus eight radio stations.
Eight radio stations. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Plus the local newspaper.
Lovely.
All of that.
What could possibly go wrong?
In one town.
To overstate the obvious, the problem with that is it's one voice controlling all the media. In one town, most towns don't have more than eight radio stations, two network television stations, and a newspaper. And can you imagine if you're in the town where it's Sinclair Broadcasting that owns all of them? Now, the reason we have a free press is so that we have a preponderance of voices in the marketplace, right? So that it's not just one voice telling you what's up. Now we have one voice telling you what's up, and they determine what it is.
And, you know, the worst part is this is so avoidable, and this is all because of the Federal Communications Commission. The Federal Communications Commission is a bureaucratic organization. I said bureaucratic, and, you know, I think that I'm right about that. Organization, which changes political hands every 4 years or so. But the truth is, even the politicos don't run it. It's the bureaucracy. And these people, this is a ruling based on the Trump FCC.
Right.
But this ruling goes all the way back into the George W. Bush years, when they tried to make the rule then that you could have all these TV stations, radio stations, and the local newspaper all in the people.
Yeah. Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
They rolled back. Prometheus Radio sued them and took them to the circuit court. It has been back and forth in the circuit court ever since. Today, the Supreme Court came out, and guess what they said, Nicole?
Go, you tell us. Go ahead. Yeah.
They said, well, we didn't really have adequate information, so we'll just have to go with what the FCC says.
And why didn't they have adequate information, Sue Wilson?
Because they use this very, very obscure process. It's called a notice of federal rulemaking. And they send it out to a few people, even people I think who pay attention.
You know what, Sue? Sue, we've got a horrible connection here. I think it's. I keep getting notices that your network bandwidth is low, and so you're breaking up. I think we might be better off if you want to turn off your camera, and that way we'll have audio only, and hopefully that won't suck up too much bandwidth. Sorry, I want to be able to hear you.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so Sue Wilson is on the line with us. All right, so let's see if this works. Talk to me.
No. Okay, is that much better now?
I don't know. We'll find out. I still see your picture, which is cool. It's a still picture, but that's good. So, all right. So, why do they not have much information? Why didn't they have enough evidence to make an informed decision here?
This is a game the Federal Communications Commission plays with us these days. They didn't always used to. Once upon a time, the FCC did its own data. And if you go to my website today, mediaactioncenter.net, you'll read all about how back in 2002, they had a study of local TV and how the TV station that I worked for and that you worked in the same building, KCBS yes. Television.
Right, I was at KNX FM. Hey, yep.
There you go. And they were making 46% profit in those days. Now, that was a legitimate FCC study. Since then, the FCC basically has said, no, we're not going to do any more studies. When we want to change the rules as to how many stations one company can own, we're just going to put this out in a notice of proposed rulemaking and let anybody who wants to give us data who can tell us why we shouldn't do this. Well, you know, I follow this really closely, Nicole. I missed this. It was only because I was doing stories about Sinclair Broadcasting that the Supreme Court came onto my wavelength. Bottom line, when I found out that this case was going to go to the Supreme Court, I filed an amicus brief in the Supreme Court and did a study about what this rule was already doing in many communities across the country. The FCC has already allowed about 65 different cities across the country to be operated under this very narrow rule, okay? I did a study, found out how many cities are under this rule now. Also found out that in the cities where they're doing this, the industry, Sinclair, is telling the FCC, oh, we have to do this because then we can provide much better news product across our local TV stations.
Oh, my God.
But what I discovered was that what's really happening, Sinclair, for example, in Columbus, Ohio, has 3 TV stations.
Oh, shit.
All right?
Oh, my God.
They have, and this is the state capital of Ohio. You think Ohio's a little bit important when it comes to presidential politics?
Yeah.
In Ohio, Sinclair has 3 stations. 2 of them are network stations. 1 is a non-network station. And across every single one of those stations, they merely duplicate the same news story.
And it's Sinclair, so it's not news, it's propaganda, which is what is so reprehensible about this. And we wonder why Ohio has gone red. Well, because if all they hear is Fox all the time, which it's Sinclair is Fox on steroids, then that influences the way people think.
And think about this. Now, they've been doing that in Columbus, Ohio. Same stories, same exact stories across 3 different stations. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they have the power to shove down people's throats in Columbus, whatever they want them to hear. Now, multiply that times every single city and town all across these United States of America, and let's talk about disinformation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the potential of ruining this democracy. Today, the Supreme Court said,
"Yeah,
well, you know, we didn't have sufficient evidence that said we couldn't do this." Now, here's the thing. Yes, I did a study through the Media Action Center. I put it in the amicus brief, but was told that the Supreme Court will not consider my study because it is too late. It had to come in during this very obscure rulemaking process. They are not in the business of fact-finding at this stage. They're in the business of very narrow legal decisions.
Wow. Now, you, Sue Wilson, have gotten up before at FCC hearings and made statements. You filed an amicus brief in this Supreme Court case. What's astounding here is that they ruled unanimously. So that means Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Stephen Breyer all sided with the Republicans and saying, yeah, ownership limits on media. No worries. Just get rid of them. No, it's not an issue because we didn't have enough information to make an informed decision. We're going to go with the little bit of info we have and say, not a big deal. Really?
Really? Really?
Wow.
And this shows the broken process that we have at the Federal Communications Commission. And I have a little news to break on your show today, Nicole.
Okay. Yeah.
Today, my attorneys filed a complaint on my behalf. I'm suing the FCC.
Yeah. Good.
I'm suing the FCC in the Sinclair Broadcasting case. Sinclair got away with a consent decree in a case that should have taken away every single broadcast license they have. Consent decree is a fancy way of saying a fine.
Right.
But they made a nice little backroom deal that nobody has seen the details of, and I'm demanding to see those details. So we've had a Freedom of Information Act request out since October. The FCC has not yet responded, so now we're bumping it up to the D.C. Court of Appeals.
Good for you. Hey, Sue, how are you paying? You know, it's not inexpensive to sue anyone, let alone the FCC. How are you affording this?
You know, Nicole, I am so fortunate because I have 2 wonderful attorneys who I am working with, Art Belendick, who is doing this particular case, Richard Faulkner, who filed the amicus brief for me. And here's the big surprise, folks. Both of these guys are Republicans.
Wow.
Both of these guys are people who understand what the democracy means. And I think it's really important that we start realizing we've got to build bridges here, that there are people who get that there is right and there is wrong, and we all got to be fighting for the right.
Yeah.
And not just for the might.
Right. And you know what? It shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is freedom of the press. This is the right for a diverse, you know, universe of voices to be heard. And what's happening is they're whittling them down and whittling them down. You know, there's three major radio groups left in the country. Used to be, in the olden days when I got into radio, you could one company could own seven radio stations, 7 AM, 7 FM, and 7 TVs, but no more than one of each in a market. Now they can own more than that in one market. It's just wrong. And that's why Clear Channel, iHeartRadio, is such a monolith now. It's why, you know, Entercom, the company that you sued because they killed a woman with a stupid drink, hold your wee for a wee contest in, I think it was Sacramento, California, right? Entercom, did you hear? They're no longer Entercom. They're huge. They swallowed up CBS Radio and some other smaller groups because consolidation is the name of the game. They're now called Odyssey. Get it? A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey. Isn't that clever? You know, Cumulus, who swallowed up Disney and ABC Radio. It's just this. It's all going to be one big snowball soon, run by people who have a political agenda and want to foist it on the rest of the nation, which is what they're doing. And now there's no check on their ability to do that. Can you tell I'm upset about this?
And, you know, and everybody should be. And I think part of the problem is that it is obscure to people. I think it is obscure to the justices on the Supreme Court on the Democratic side. I don't think that they truly get what this is. And as loudly as you've been shouting for years and that I've been shouting for years and a few others, a handful of others, we need to be reaching a much wider audience than this. And I want to say something else about radio, if it's okay.
Please.
Well, you know, for years, I've been trying to reach out, especially to Democrats who would have the power to make change and educate them about the huge radio audience. For example, Sean Hannity on Fox News on his best night ever got 4 million viewers.
Right.
Every single day on the radio, he gets 15 million listeners.
Wow. Wow. And it's Sean Hannity. Oh, my God. Have you heard of him? I'm sorry. This all goes back to 1996 and Bill Clinton, thank you very much, and the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which upended the ownership rules. That's where this began. So you have Bill Clinton to thank for this as well. I was hoping someone would get to Joe Biden and say, you got to do something about ownership limits in media because our voices are being squelched. And, well, this is the outcome. Lovely.
Well, you know, for the record, I am reaching out to the White House. I am reaching out to the subcommittee on disinformation at the House. I'm reaching out to everyone and anyone who may listen. And I have put a checklist of things that we the people need to do on the Media Action Center website. You're going to find this underneath the press release I put out today. But bottom line, there's a few key things we need to do. And one is, yes, the Communications Act. We need to use Congress now to rewrite the broadcast ownership rules. Yes. At the same time, they're considering what to do with this Section 230 for new media. You've got to tie that two together and repair it. Something else. We've talked a lot about the Fairness Doctrine. You worked under the Fairness Doctrine. I worked under the Fairness Doctrine. The Fairness Doctrine was our friend. It was not our enemy.
That's right.
It was really simple. It really, all it said was that we had to provide a reasonable opportunity for the presentation of contrasting viewpoints.
Yep.
It didn't say that we had to provide equal time, just a reasonable opportunity.
Yeah,
and when they took that away, they killed her voice.
It's wild. I'm looking through. I've got this old portfolio here with some old, and I mean old, press clippings from when I first started in radio. So here's my stuff from Tampa, from college. But then I moved up to New York, right? And in New York, I worked at WMCA, a talk station. And this was, well, this letter is from 1985, a letter from George Lauder of the CIA, who wrote to me. This is before email, before, you know, voicemail on a phone, before cell phones. Dear Ms. Sandler, thank you for your invitation to Mr. William J. Casey, director of the FBI, CIA, for whom I am responding to discuss author Stephen Epperson's speculative Saudi Arabian premise on WMCA's Barry Farber program. Because I offered them time to respond on an issue that we had discussed. I've got one here, a handwritten letter note from Pat Buchanan at the White House, believe it or not. Hold on if I could, it's taped in here. But right here, Pat Buchanan at the White House. Dear Nicole, thanks for the opportunity, but I don't think it is necessary. Again, because under the fairness doctrine, when you discuss an issue, you invite somebody with an opposing point of view on. It doesn't mean they have to accept, but you offer them the time. And this is what I did back then in 1982, 83, 84. It's not done anymore because nobody wants to hear the other side. That's what's missing with the fairness doctrine. Having both sides of the argument on the same station. We had Barry Farber. We had Bob Grant, who was a raging right winger. He was the precursor to Rush Limbaugh. And we had Barry Gray, who was the resident liberal, all under the same, call letters. That's the way it should be. You hear a variety of voices and opinions on the same airwaves. That's how it should be. Sorry, I'm kind of passionate about this.
You really should. Well, so am I. And the thing is that this, somebody could go on the radio and call me a child molester, and I do not have any opportunity to go and get on that microphone on that radio station and say, wait a minute, let's discuss the facts here. I could hire a lawyer for a lot of money and sue somebody.
Right.
But I have lost my right to respond. And here's the big message to everyone out there who's listening. It is critical we change our language about the words fairness doctrine. The right wing has trained their army that the fairness doctrine is the devil. And anytime you utter those words, they are going to attack you to kill the devil.
Right.
So what I'm suggesting we do is we ask Congress for the very simple right to respond. We deserve the right to respond. And that should be on the same station. It should be in the same time.
Yep.
I think there's ways that this could be done. Maybe at the last 8 minutes of every hour, somebody else is coming on going, now let's just fact check this and talk about what we've heard here. But some way, somehow, we have lost our right to respond. That's called private censorship. The Supreme Court said years ago, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
So we have got to reclaim our right to respond. Without it, this democracy has been dying every single day since 97 when they got rid of the fairness doctrine. We have to reclaim what is ours, people. We have to do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not only that. That's one part of it. But the ownership rules are really important. I had every hope in the world that once we got rid of Edget Pie from the FCC, some reason would take over. The Supreme Court, seriously, unanimously, loosen up the ownership rules. It doesn't matter. It's only the media. How do you think Berlusconi got control of Italy? Because he controlled the media. He who controls the media controls the government. That's how it works. And if, again, you wonder why the rise of the right wing in America, look at Rupert Murdoch. Look at the shit he pushes. That's why politics are as they are in this country right now, because people believe fiction. They're believing Fox fake news. This has never been more relevant than it is right now.
Your original source for fake news, Fox News. We make shit up.
So there you go. There is no, I was saying earlier that Fox so-called news couldn't be on over-the-air television, because that's governed by the FCC, and they couldn't call themselves news with what they do. Well, I think the Supreme Court just basically blew up that idea, because the FCC no longer regulates that somebody who calls themselves news is actually delivering actual news.
That's true. And I see a crack in the ice. You know, for your audience, a lot of what we do at Media Action Center is to find the legal cracks in the ice that we think we can get a wedge into and open it up on behalf of we the people. There's a legal term called bona fide news. Now, over the years, shows like The Tonight Show and The Donahue Show have been termed bona fide news by the FCC. I'm not going to get in the weeds on this too much, but that does have to do with who is granted equal time when they're running for president. It's the last vestige of the fairness doctrine.
Yeah.
But what I'm here to say is that we do need to start labeling news versus opinion.
Yes.
And I think this whole concept of what is bona fide news is key. You know, I'm going to take a second to talk about what we did in Wisconsin. And by the way, this was under Barack Obama's FCC. So it isn't just under Republicans that we have them. We did a study in Wisconsin during the Scott Walker recall where we proved that the two giant 50,000 watt radio stations in Milwaukee were providing millions of dollars of free airtime to supporters of Scott Walker.
Yeah.
But they would not allow a single Democrat on the air at all. We filed a petition to deny their licenses based on that, saying, come on, you've got to be able to follow the FCC's own rule, which is that, at that point, it was called the Zapple rule.
Right.
You've got to be able to also allow supporters on the air. Two things happened. The FCC came back to us and said, nah, that's okay. They can do that. This is Barack Obama's FCC that comes back and says, no, that's okay. God. They can do that. And also at the same time, we had one of those radio stations in their legal briefs say that talk radio is bona fide news.
My God. It is not news. It's opinion. Now, I do an opinion show based in news, but I still don't call myself a journalist. I call myself a talk show host. I pride myself on, you know, bringing forth facts. And if I ever get anything wrong, I beg listeners, please correct me, because I don't want to disseminate false information. That's what they do as a business model.
Yep. And the FCC is the lead driver. I have come to the conclusion after all these years, Nicole, that we have to reform the Federal Communications Commission.
Yep.
Now, right now, we have a wonderful woman who is the acting chair, Jessica Rosenworcel. I have complete faith in her good will toward the public interest. However, in 4 years' time, she could be gone.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody else will come in. We have this revolving door of people, so where the bureaucracy themselves is really running the show. Mm-hmm. That's why I got that unfavorable ruling back in 2012. The bureaucracy is running the show, and we've got to take democracy decisions out of these hands. You know, Nicole, you'll know this, and the audience may get it as I'm talking about it. They decided to form the Federal Communications Commission because when radio stations first were invented, there were these little radio towers cropping up all over.
Okay.
And radio signals go roughly in a circle, okay? And what happened was that these circles kept bumping into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one guy's trying to broadcast over here, and 50 miles away, somebody else is trying to broadcast. If you lived in the middle, you're getting some jumbled up stuff that was both.
Right.
Both stations.
Yep.
So I think that the government rightly set up the Federal Communications Commission to say, okay, deal with this. Deal with the engineers. Figure out this person gets licensed to that station. That person gets licensed to the other station. So you're not bumping into each other and causing all this problems. Okay?
Okay.
That's fine. And I'm really happy that the Federal Communications Commission is there and they license people for ham radio and all kinds of stuff like that. But they ought not to be making crucial decisions about our democracy without any input from we the people, without any input, for God's sake, from Congress. And Congress, listen up, Congress, if you're listening at all, you've got to start acting. The Biden administration has got to start acting. We have a very narrow window right now to recognize this problem and to solve this issue for we the people.
Yeah, well, Good luck to us, because we got handed a shit sandwich today by the Supreme Court. And in case you're wondering why, if there's a major disaster, I'm going to go back to radio because that's where I come from. Major disaster in any town USA on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, you will hear nothing about it on your radio stations because there's not a live person in the building until Monday morning, if you're lucky. It's all voice tracked. It's all canned. There's nothing live and local or serving the community about what you do. When I got into radio, you had to, when you filed for a license renewal, do something called ascertainment. And I've had to do this at radio stations. You have to go out into the community and talk to community leaders about the top 10 issues facing your community, identify what they are, and explain how your broadcast station is addressing those issues. None of that shit exists anymore. There is no such thing as local radio, and I guess now there's no such thing as local television. Good luck to us all. We are fucked, and not in a good way. Sue Wilson, I got to run because I got Howie Klein standing by. I implore everyone, go to MediaActionCenter.net, read what Sue has put out, follow Sue Blue Wilson on Twitter, stay involved, and know that we need to do something about this. We've already been kicked off the airwaves. By we, I mean us on the progressive side of politics. Now they're just trying to bombard you with fake news. You got the projectionists on the right, led by Air Trump himself, saying, oh, it's fake news, it's fake news. They're the ones putting out the fake news, and now they're codifying it, saying you have no right to real news. This is fucked. It's the technical term. Sue Wilson, thank you for the work you're doing. As far as I can tell, you're the only one doing it.
Thank you, because we need your voice, Nicole.
Well, you got it. So keep me posted. Let me know whatever I can do to help because this can't go on like this. This is just not okay. Again, we're screwed. I learned it. I knew years ago that I was screwed, and it's why I'm online and not on terrestrial radio anymore, because radio is dead. Our government killed it. Thank you very much. All right, Sue, I will be in touch. Please stay in touch with me and let me know what's happening. If there's anything I can do to help, tell me. I'm there.
One quick thing. It's Sue Blues Wilson with an S.
Sue Blues. Oh, I got it wrong on the Chiron here. It's Sue Blues Wilson. I will fix it on the blog post. Sue Blues Wilson. The name came from the documentary you made some years back called Broadcast Blues, which was at the very beginning of this problem, back when I was still on the radio in South Florida, back before iHeartRadio killed off the only progressive talk station in town to make way for the fourth or fifth, I think, sports talk station. Yeah, because that's what we needed. Yeah. So Broadcast Blues was the name of that movie. I'm sure you can find it online somewhere. You should watch it. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Nicole. Be well. Hi, Howie.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye. I'll tell Howie you said hello. Speaking of Howie, somebody who's mixing up the Dirty Debbies today.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of Down With Tierney on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole Sandler.
I'm sorry about last week. I had one of those reactions to the second Moderna vaccine. The good news is, after another 24 hours or so, I was just back to normal. And even knowing that I was going to have a day and a half of hell, I'd still be first in line to get the shot if I hadn't already gotten it.
I mean, when you say hell, is it really hell?
You know, I just felt really shitty. I mean, I can't even imagine if that was the reaction just from the vaccine. I can't even imagine what it was like to have COVID. I just felt really lousy. First of all, my arm hurt at the site, and it was on fire. I mean, you could touch my arm, and it was burning to the touch. And then the aches and pains, like a fluish ache throughout the body, and then a massive headache. Like a massive headache. It was that, feeling kind of nauseous, although I don't think I threw up. Just overall, fluish, lousy feeling. Enough so that I didn't do the show. And, you know, I don't often call in sick. So, but yeah, a day of rest, and I was good to go.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roland had a bad reaction, too.
And what?
But he went to work.
Oh, really? Okay. And then it passed in a day or two, right?
Yeah, one day later, he was fine.
Yeah, that's it. So it's worth it.
The first day that he got the shot, he came over after getting the shot complaining that he doesn't feel anything, and maybe they didn't really give him a real shot.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, the first one,
Oh, it was a real shot, okay.
Oh, yeah. It was a real shot. The first one, I had a sore arm for a few days. The second one knocked me out, but it's okay. Because now I'm counting the days. I've got less than a week left. April 7th, I get to hug my kid again.
Yay!
Right? I know.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And leave the house. I've been stuck here for a year. I still will wear a mask when I go out. I will still be cognizant of where other people are in relation to me. But I know that my chances of getting sick now, especially seriously sick, are very low. So there's that.
Yes. And my doctor today told me that she plans mid-month for me, and she thinks that she'll have the exact date by the end of the day.
Oh, good. Oh, nice. It's cool because you're still dealing with the effects of cancer treatment. So you've got to time it in relation to any other medications that they give you. And I'm glad you've got the best doctors out there. So you're in good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't say that Chuck Schumer never did anything for me. I have, I was thinking what to make for dinner tonight. I have my main course all planned out,
yeah.
But I didn't know what to do as a starter. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And then when he started talking about corn, I figured, I'm going to make some corn.
Okay, just corn, like corn on the cob, corn...
I'm gonna do a. It was more like a salad thing, but I'm gonna make a kind of like green beans with a kind of a corn relish.
Ooh.
As a salad to start the meal.
Wow, sounds nice. What is the main course this evening?
Well, the grain is buckwheat, and then the main course is kind of like a sweet and sour red cabbage with daikon and apples and mushrooms, various kinds of Eastern European vegetables.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yes, delicious. You know, it's simple and delicious.
Cool.
And then I have a less simple chocolate, like a silk chocolate pie for dinner, for dessert.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I want to come over for dinner. Maybe once we're all vaccinated.
Yes.
we'll hop on a plane. I'm not going anywhere on a plane for a while still. And now they're doing away with the empty middle seats. Boy, they're jumping the gun. And all indications are that we are headed for a pretty brutal fourth surge. Because these morons don't realize you don't go out.
At ending the middle seat thing. I mean, I understand greed, but it seems to me that they're doing something that's going to be very unpopular.
You think? Right. Well, it's greed. It's all about greed. It's all about the almighty dollar. I don't know if you just heard. I was just talking to Sue Wilson from the Media Action Center about the. Did you hear what the Supreme Court ruled this morning? Ownership. Ownership restrictions on media ownership, no worries. at Sinclair Broadcasting can own as many radio and television stations as they want, basically, is what they said. It doesn't matter.
Oh, really? I didn't know that that was even something that they were
Supreme
talking
about. Supreme Court unanimously upheld the FCC's loosening of media ownership rules. Now, it's not unlimited. They can own two network television stations in the same market. So Sinclair could conceivably own the CBS and the NBC television stations in any American city. That means they control the local news as well. It's fucked
so
up.
So that's shocking that ruling, that was a unanimous ruling. Like, absolutely shocking. Did nobody objected to that?
No. 9-0. Kavanaugh wrote the decision. I'm apoplectic about this. And eight radio stations. One company can own three television stations, two of them network affiliates, and eight radio stations and a newspaper in a single market. In a single market.
Unbelievable.
Right? This is what I'm up on fire about today. Forget the murder trial going on, which has me freaked out because I've seen George Floyd die too many times in the last few days. I think I now have PTSD. I can't imagine the people that were on the scene and hearing them testifying this week. I mean, I'm feeling back to my old stressed self again.
Mm.
So we should talk about Matt Gaetz.
My old friend Matt. You know, yeah. I actually at one time reached out to try to get him to be like a, you know, someone who would be agree to be a congressional source for me.
Oh, really?
He had, he had co-sponsored a really good anti-war bill with Ro Khanna,
uh-huh.
A really good one. And I thought, wow, I mean, you know, this guy isn't a jerk. He's, you know, everything he's ever done in his entire political career has been horrible. Like, really horrible. I mean, people are just getting to know who he is, but I've been following him for many, many years. And even when he was in the Florida legislature, he was always, like, you know, sponsoring bills to, like, you know, do insane things, like, really crazy, like, abolish the EPA. You know, so I'm not just
right.
saying he's just, like, a nut. He was, like, he was a troll
yeah.
as well. And then he does this really good anti-war bill with Ro Khanna, and I asked Ro if he'd introduce me, and Ro said sure, and he did. And then he gave me his personal email address, and he never responded.
Yeah, I'd be very wary of anything to do with Matt Gaetz. There's something really off about that guy. There's something really creepy
yes.
and
oh
wrong.
Oh my God! I mean, you know about the claims that he had a romantic, I mean, kind of S&M-y kind of romantic relationship with his college roommate?
No. No.
Oh, my God. That was when he was just a Florida man.
Oh, God.
And he was, you know, out of his mind. And he got into an oral, what is that called? The kind of thing where you strangle somebody.
Oh, my.
And you're supposed to bring them close to death, but not kill them.
Oh, autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yeah, that. And this guy died.
Oh, my God. Well, I know someone else I know a few people who died from that, but yeah. Wow.
My God.
Well, you know.
And then, you know, his father helped him get out of it. You know, but he was a real ne'er-do-well. His whole life, he's a bad apple, and you're getting that from members of Congress. Republican, obviously, you're getting it from Democrats, but Republican members of Congress are saying they're not going to be sorry to see him go. Now, that's not to say that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert they'll be sorry to see him
right.
go. But I just mean, you know, more normal people
right.
are saying things like, you know, this guy was, you know, out of his mind and we'll be better off without him. The Republicans.
Yes. No, the Republicans are not rushing to his defense, which is interesting. But
you're lunatic.
He is.
I mean, you know, you count on, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Jim
Jordan.
What's his name?
Jim Jordan.
Jim Shower.
Jordan. Jim Jordan.
Yes, Jim Jordan.
And, of course, can't forget about Madison Cawthorn.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't see him come to the guy's defense, but I
imagine
that he would.
No, but he probably will.
Yes.
Right. So, you know.
These are all the trolls. These are literally trolls. These are people you think, why are they even in Congress? I mean, it makes no sense to me at all. I mean, Congress, you have an opportunity to do good for the people who elected you, for your neighbors, for the country. You have an opportunity to really do good stuff. And instead, these are just like frustrated, insane trolls.
Yes. Right. Well, so the thing about Matt Gaetz, so he's the ultimate Florida man. You know, it was last year at some point where all of a sudden he reveals the existence of a, quote, son. Now, he doesn't have a son. He has a young man from, I believe, a Central American country who's been under his care, who apparently, according to Gaetz, just is either in college or just graduated college, because Gaetz let him go on spring break, you know, face to face with all the other crazies without masks in South Florida. But Nestor, I thought, okay, well, there's something really creepy there. He's not your son. As an adoptive mother, I know the difference. And then, and I'm thinking, all right, there's something weird there. Now comes the news that he's got this underage 17-year-old girlfriend or former girlfriend that he used to travel with. And now that Trump's DOJ opened an investigation into him for human trafficking. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
It is wow. It's quite amazing. And, you know, although he's now saying, well, she's not 17. Well, that's right. She's not. She's 19 now.
She was 17
when he was having the affair with her.
It's
amazing.
17.
He's using Trump's tactics of like flooding the zone.
Yeah.
Where he's going on Twitter and on right-wing media and just carrying on and just saying all sorts of things, hoping that something is going to take hold and something is going to, you know, get him some kind of support for whatever he's going to do next in his life. He's not going to be in Congress much longer, I would imagine. I mean, Pelosi today said, you know, told the Ethics Committee, put him under investigation. And they don't usually do that when there's a Department of Justice thing.
Right.
But she said his, you know, because now she didn't say this, at least that I know of, but I think that because he was using campaign funds to wine and dine and pay for this woman, that she that was beyond what she could just, you know, sit back and tolerate.
Yep.
So she wants him off the Justice Committee at the very minimum.
Oh, without a doubt. Right. And Ted Lieu called for that as well. You know, Kevin McCarthy said, well, you know, we will have an investigation. And obviously, if we find there's some there, we'll pull him. And Ted Lieu said, hell no.
Him off. He went further. Kevin McCarthy actually said he has to be found guilty in a court.
Oh, God.
Take, you know, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, literally years. It's finding someone guilty in a court. I mean, they certainly didn't wait to get rid of, some of the, you know, Collins from Buffalo.
Yep.
And that guy from the San Diego area. Once they were indicted, they removed them from their committee.
Right, right.
But, I think that probably Kevin McCarthy will take that back, but that's what he said.
Unreal.
He said he found guilty in a court of law.
Wow. But yet, you know, Al Franken had to resign. Give me a break. The hypocrisy is just, it's astounding. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised by it anymore. And I'm not surprised by it. I'm just still disturbed by it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Al Franken, I think, decided to resign on his own, unfortunately. He felt he was pressured into it. But he, you know, I mean, he was not forced to do it. And, you know, it's a shame. And you know, I'll never forgive Kyrsten Sinema for that.
Nope.
I'm sorry, Kyrsten
Gillibrand
for that.
Right. And I noticed she was a little late to the calls for Andrew Cuomo to resign. Now, let me ask you about that, Howie Klein, because I'm not an Andrew Cuomo fan. We've talked about this before. But I'm sorry. The latest woman to allege sexual harassment said he grabbed me and kissed me on both cheeks. Really? Come on. Sexual harassment is sexual harassment. That to me sounds like Tina Dupuy, who accused Al Franken of harassing her because when they were taking a picture and he put his arm around her waist, He felt a little roll of chubbiness and commented on it. You know what? Fuck you. That's not sexual harassment. And if you don't want him to touch you, then don't stand next to him for a picture. I'm sick of this shit. I get if
I'll kick him in the balls.
Yeah, right. And to these women, and I've heard back from women who said, look, you know, women in power, women who are just, you know, young assistants, don't have the power. They're afraid to speak up. But if some boss did something that offended me or that I felt harassed, I would say something. I can't tell if any one of these women ever said anything to Andrew Cuomo. It's like, excuse me, that is harassment. That makes me uncomfortable. Please stop.
Right, but they are saying it to him now.
Yes.
Andrew Cuomo is well known as an asshole.
Yes.
And if these women
were
working for him or working for the state, that's another story than just a random woman who he put his arm around or kissed.
Right.
I mean, you know. And it really is, it paints a picture of him for everybody to see that's more than just one particular woman speaking about, you know, getting kissed on both cheeks.
That's
true. I think that Andrew Cuomo is a bully, and he has been for a long time.
Yeah.
And he let that go into the kind of way he relates to women, which is inappropriate and illegal. I mean, you're not allowed to, force yourself in any way on a woman. Now, yes, should they have said something?
Yes.
And I'm glad that they're finally saying something now.
So am I.
I mean, Andrew Cuomo was a bad guy.
I agree.
He deserves the worst. Does that mean he's as bad as Trump? Of course not. No one's ever going to be as bad as Trump. But we have to stop thinking of things in terms of Trump, because, you know, otherwise no one will ever be guilty of anything.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm just, the hypocrisy. Again, I go back to, where were the calls every day for Donald Trump to have resigned? People just accepted, oh, well, he's a sleaze and probably a rapist who assaulted numerous women and has outstanding rape charges against him. But we won't call for his resignation because he's not going to resign. I don't know. But they sure enough call for Andrew Cuomo to resign every day. And frankly, what he did is a lot less worse. I know that's a bad standard, but still a lot less worse than what Trump did.
Yeah. But again, you know, let's forget about comparing anybody to Trump.
I know.
You know, I was looking at the infrastructure bill.
Yes.
And there's a lot of good stuff in it, but it does not address climate change the way climate change needs to be addressed. And I don't want to hear somebody telling me it's better than Donald Trump. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
No, it doesn't.
We have an existential problem that has to be addressed seriously.
Yep.
And I don't think that Biden's bill even comes vaguely close to addressing it the way it needs to be addressed.
Well,
so I'm
right.
not happy
well,
with that.
And Biden,
but it just gets back to that thing of comparing everything to Trump.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an unfair low bar. I mean, nothing's going to ever be as bad as Trump.
It is. And I agree with you. And I'm not saying either or. I'm saying, here's this box with Andrew Cuomo. Let's think back a minute, though, and wonder, why weren't there calls every day from these same people for Donald Trump to step down? I'm not saying don't hold Cuomo accountable for what he's done. I'm asking, where was the outrage about Trump? For years, we didn't hear anything about the rape allegations. That's something that his critics should have brought up every fucking day. They do it when it's a Democrat.
That's interesting that it would be that clear that they do it when it's a Democrat.
They do. And they ignore it when it's a Republican.
Well, that seems to imply that the Republicans organize around this kind of thing, that they turn out their their base to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I see, you know, I get emails from the NRCC and the RNC and the NRSC. And they do that. They are, you know, they harp on this stuff, and they harp on it every single day. They just go on and on and on about, you know, whatever it is that the message they want to get, and then they don't stop. And
exactly.
And our side doesn't do that.
No, We don't do that. Yeah, just let it drop. It's like, okay, we'll make some noise for a couple of weeks and then move on to the next thing. Well, the fact remains, Donald Trump stayed in office for 4 years with a rape charge holding more than one hanging over his head. And the Democrats, the critics, just let it go. Just saying, we don't play the same game of pool that they do. So, yeah. And now Matt Gaetz, you know, he's talking. It's funny. Right before this story broke, he was saying, well, I may retire. I may, you know, move into media. I think Newsmax wants to hire me. Did he know this was brewing? Like, and now Fox is saying, we're not hiring him.
Yeah, he knew it was about to happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, and that's why that story came out. I mean, 2 hours after the Newsmax story came out, the charges about him doing sex trafficking with that.
Right. So this will be interesting to see where it goes now that it's, you know, will he get pressure from his people to step down, do you think? Or will he, you know, to save face? It's like, oh, I'm going to go to Newsmax. I mean, yeah, there's things he's talking about resigning early. Well, go get the fuck out.
Does Newsmax want him?
I have no idea. They don't talk to me. I'm sure his pal Donald has a position for him down at Mar-a-Lago once they lift the COVID restrictions.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if you remember him physically or not, but remember when he was trying to go out with AOC?
Matt Gaetz?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, at one time he wanted to date her.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He wouldn't give him the time of day, of course. But
well, duh.
He did want to date her. And his, he was, you know, he was like grotesquely overweight.
Yes.
I mean, he looked like really like so different from the way he looks now. And what I've heard is that that Trump told him, if you want to go on TV and represent me, you're going to have to like drop like 100 pounds.
Wow. I do remember he was a bit chubbier than he is now. He's kind of svelte now. I guess that never worked for Chris Christie, though, huh?
No, I mean, I guess everyone knew Christie already.
Oh,
and this
I
was
see.
Like the youngest member of Congress. And he's, you know, Trump, I guess, thought he could develop him. Whereas with Christie, it was too late.
Right. Oy, oy, oy. Ay, ay, ay. This whole thing is just so disturbing. It's just there's so much ugly news out there. You know, I'd gotten used to the last couple of months where things were just moving along kind of smoothly. And now we got the damn murder trial and, you know, having to watch that tape over and over again. It's like the train wreck you can't turn away from. Seeing more details, seeing the murder of George Floyd from different angles. It's just horrific. And then, you know, this news from the Supreme Court, 6-9-0. And then Matt Gaetz, how distasteful can it be? I mean, what's next?
Yeah, I have to look into that Supreme Court thing. I mean, that's like really shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, that none of the progressives would stand up against this? What's there? There's got to be something that we don't know about this.
Here, the Supreme Court on Thursday upheld a move by the Federal Communications Committee to relax media ownership rules, handing down a unanimous ruling that favors large broadcasters. The decision dealt a blow to challengers who argued that laxer regulations could usher in more media consolidation at the expense of minority and female media ownership. The justices found the FCC had acted reasonably in its 2017 regulatory rollback, which included scrapping a rule that had barred a single company from owning a radio or TV station along with a newspaper in a single local market. Brett Kavanaugh, who wrote the opinion, go figure, considered the record evidence on competition, localism, viewpoint diversity and minority and female ownership, and reasonably concluded that the three ownership rules no longer serve the public interest. What?
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand Matt Kavanaugh's position, but I don't understand why the liberals would go along with that. We have to hear that.
Yeah, nor do I. Nor do I. I'm devastated. 9-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what is that a blender going? What are you cooking?
There's got to be more to this. I mean,
I mean, why would Kagan ever go along with something like
that? Or Sotomayor or Breyer. I just don't understand. Well, apparently, they said they didn't get the information they requested. The FCC dropped the ball in getting all the document, the evidence for the justices, who finally said, you know what, we'll just go based on the evidence they've given us. We don't see any problem with the rules. It's because it was Agent Pai's FCC who didn't want to turn over this information, as far as I can tell, and Sue Wilson, from what she said. Yeah. So
this is just horrifying.
What is going on with your phone now?
What?
Something strange is going on. What?
I'm hearing music, so it's not on my end. I think it's you doing something.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but it sounds like you're all muffled. Anyway, we're out of time, so I'm going to run. I'll leave you to your cooking. Howie Klein, of course, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, check out the Blue America Pack and help the progressive candidates that Blue America has endorsed. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. I don't know what happened to his phone. That was pretty wild, huh? All right. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the week. I'm glad this one is finally ending. All right, Progressive Voices is done. And as we've been doing for the last week or so or more or however long, I will leave you with today's What's News.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It happened again. A gunman opened fire Wednesday at an Orange, California office complex and killed four people, including a child. A fifth victim was seriously injured. Police officers shot at the suspect, who was taken to a hospital with a gunshot wound and listed in critical condition, although it wasn't immediately clear whether he shot himself or was hit by police. Either way, the gunman started shooting inside an office suite at the complex, which included an insurance office, a marriage therapist, a phone repair shop, and several other businesses. By CNN's count, this is at least the 20th mass shooting since the Atlanta area spa attacks 2 weeks ago that left eight people dead. This is where I'd normally go into the story about the gun control legislation that's moving through Congress, but there isn't any. So we'll move right along. President Biden on Wednesday unveiled a $2 trillion infrastructure, jobs, and green energy plan, the first phase of his Build Back Better economic agenda. In a speech in Pittsburgh, Biden called his American jobs plan a, quote, once-in-a-generation investment in America. It includes billions of dollars for rebuilding the country's infrastructure, including roads, bridges, rail lines, and utilities, and also aims to ensure that every American has access to high-speed broadband internet. To pay for it, Biden is proposing tax hikes on businesses, something Republicans oppose. Well, of course they do. Testimony continued Wednesday in the third day of the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin for the death of George Floyd. For the first time, we and the jurors saw video footage from inside Cups Foods, where Floyd allegedly used a counterfeit $20 bill to pay for a pack of cigarettes. 19-year-old Christopher Martin was working as the cashier that day, and he testified that he noticed that the bill had a weird blue pigment that made him suspicious.
George was motionless, limp, and Chauvin seemed very... He was in a resting state.
What was going through your mind during that time period?
Disbelief and guilt.
Why guilt?
If I would have just not taken the bill, avoided.
Just heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. So the poster child for Florida man, Matt Gaetz, appears to be in some serious trouble. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said Wednesday that the sex trafficking investigations against the Florida congressman has, quote, serious implications. But he went on to say that it's too early to remove him from committees because, quote, we don't have any information. Well, Congressman Ted Lieu disagrees. He said that Gaetz should be prosecuted if the allegations are true, but he should be removed immediately from the House Judiciary Committee because it has oversight of the Justice Department, which is investigating him. The New York Times first reported on Tuesday that the DOJ was looking into whether Gates had a sexual relationship with a girl who was just 17, making her above the age of consent in some states, below in others, and that he paid for her to travel with him across state lines, which opens up human sex trafficking charges as well. Gates has denied the allegations. Stay tuned. New York City police on Wednesday arrested the man captured on video beating and stomping a 65-year-old Asian American woman in Manhattan. The suspect, 38-year-old Brandon Elliott, was previously convicted for killing his mother. Yeah, he killed his mother. And he served time for that conviction before he was released in 2019 on something called lifetime parole. He reportedly was staying in a hotel used as a homeless shelter near the attack scene. He faces two counts of felony assault as a hate crime, attempted assault as a hate crime, and other charges. If convicted, he faces up to 25 years in prison. The attack was one of two recent acts of violence against Asian Americans in New York City, which has seen a rise in hate crimes against Asian Americans. In both cases, bystanders saw the attacks but did nothing to help the victims. So Wednesday was International Transgender Day of Visibility. President Biden issued the first presidential proclamation recognizing the occasion that's dedicated to celebrating transgender people and bringing awareness to the discrimination and violence they face every day. In his proclamation, Biden said of the activists who made this day possible, quote, "Their trailblazing work has given countless transgender individuals the bravery to live openly and authentically. This hard-fought progress is also shaping an increasingly accepting world in which peers at school, teammates and coaches on the playing field, colleagues at work, and allies in every corner of society are standing in support and solidarity with the transgender community." The Defense Department on Wednesday used the occasion to reverse the former guy's policy that essentially banned transgender troops from serving openly in the U.S. military. The new Pentagon guidelines, which take effect April 30th, increase access to medical care for people transitioning while in the military and largely reinstates the policies of former President Barack Obama. President Biden signed an executive order in January protecting transgender troops at risk of being expelled from the military under the Trump-era policies. There are about 15,000 transgender service members in the U.S. military, according to advocates, and some 2,200 of them have been diagnosed and are seeking care for gender dysphoria. Well, I guess it's now two steps up and one step back. Shipments of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine have been halted as the drug maker admits that due to worker error, as many as 15 million doses may have been ruined. Workers at a Baltimore factory somehow mixed up the ingredients. Meanwhile, we're learning more about the full impact of the pandemic. COVID-19 was the third leading cause of death in 2020 in the United States, right behind heart disease and cancer. The virus also led to a global increase in stillbirths, maternal mortality, and depression. So remember Donald Trump's dear leader style cabinet meetings where he'd go around the table to hear the secretaries heap accolades on the orange one? Well, you can expect to hear none of that nonsense on Wednesday when Joe Biden convenes his cabinet for the first time. The 25-member group will discuss, among other things, the first part of the president's brand new infrastructure plan unveiled just Tuesday, along with the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package passed a couple of weeks ago and other top priorities. And finally,
way back, see you later.
It's opening day. Ballparks around the country are opening at different capacity levels. We must cite the Texas Rangers, who for some reason are opening their stadium at full capacity. This can't turn out well. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.